First of all, I just want to say how glad I am to be back in this room. It is, Jan and I have this interesting thing that happens because Lamplighters ends for you all in April, and it doesn't end for us for a while. Because in truth, ever, but we do get a little break, you know, once we do the study and everything, it takes a little bit of time. And I get to where I'm just like, I don't want to talk about Lamplighters today. And I want to get away from it. But what I always find is that time does not last very long. And pretty soon I'm looking at the calendar going, I need to get back into Lamplighters because you ladies keep me in God's Word, probably more than anybody else. So thank you all for that. Thank you all for coming, because you're the whole reason we have this study, and you're a huge part of it. And I also want to reiterate, because since Jan and I do the podcast, we really don't get to see very many people. So if you are new this year, if you're new even in the past couple of years, or if we just haven't talked to you in a while, please take some time. Might not have time today, but come and reintroduce yourself, because we like to know who we're talking to. You know, and when we look at a list and we go, but I don't even know who that is, we want to meet you all. So please take some time in the upcoming weeks to come and introduce yourself so that we know who you are. And also, this teaching time, I think is gonna be a special time. So I really wanna encourage you all to be here at 9:45 every week, because we've done several podcasts already, and these lessons, they are so rich, but we can't talk about nearly, you know, not even, we can barely touch it sometimes. So we're already like, oh, I know what I'm gonna talk about in that 15 minutes. So I think it's gonna be fun. So y'all come for that. Okay, so time to get started. As most of you will probably say, I have had so many women in my life who have touched me, led me closer to Christ, really influenced, you know, the kind of woman that I want to be. But there's one that stands out, and she always has. Just be prepared for me to cry. Those of you who have been here know that it happens all the time. But anyway, she's just such an important person in my life. And her name was Veda Love. And her last name was everything. Her last name was Love, and that's what she was. She was love in every way that you can think of that word. And she was as close to being a member of our family as anyone ever has been who wasn't related to us by blood. And she first came into my dad's life when he was a little boy and was there his whole life. And then when my parents got married and had three kids in 4 years, she stepped in to help them. And she literally was the person who carried us from the car into the house the very first time, each one of us kids. So she literally, there is nothing in our life, in my life, the whole time that she was living, any significant event that I cannot remember her being a part of. She was that much a part of our lives. And for me, she was very much my safe person. You know, when I was little, she was very quiet. She was very calm. And one of the things that I remember the most was just the way she would give a hug. It was a hug like, she just enveloped you. And that's what made her feel so safe. And she had this way of laughing that her whole body would shake and her whole face would crinkle up and not a sound would come out of her. And so as kids, we thought that was, you know, fantastic. And, you know, we were always trying to make her laugh because it was just so fun. And her birthday, she was born on the 4th of July. So, you know, I was a child and I thought, well, the fireworks are for Veda because it's her birthday. Because that's how she was. And occasionally she would babysit us, which we just looked forward to like nothing else. And we would fight over who got to sit by Veda, you know, who got to do, you know, whatever by Veda. And she would just laugh and she would somehow make it feel like each one of us was sitting by her. She just had that special way about her. Now, as most of you all know, if you've ever heard me talk, I was raised in a Christian home. I went to Christian school. We went to church every single Sunday. So Jesus has always been a part of my life. I don't remember him not being a part of my life. I was literally immersed in him daily. And Veda was also a deeply Christian woman. But she never used it to keep us in line. And what I mean to say is, as a child, I felt like there were a lot of rules about Jesus. And I don't think that I was necessarily being taught that, but it was just something that I sort of was interpreting. Just in my child's mind, you know, you had to do this and that and the other. But Veda never made me feel that way. She never, she just always had a really quiet way of talking about him. And I just know that's what made her, I knew as a child that that's what made her so special. And she would tell us how much Jesus loved us all the time. And it was just beautiful the way she said it, and I believed her. Every time she said it, I believed her. I was like, yeah, he does. He does love me. And so I think that's what made Veda, Veda, is she had such a deep love of Jesus that she was one of those people that just truly just flowed out of her. It gave her that peace that passes all understanding, and from that peace came patience. I never remember her raising a voice to us, and there were five of us, so there were plenty of times she could have. She loved us. She just had this combination of joy and gratitude and love that could not have come from anything else. And so I knew that I wanted to be, and I still want to be more like her. Oh gosh, I wish I could be like, if I could be like Veda right now, I'd be very happy with myself. But she's someone who I think about often. She passed away when she was 92, and I had already had both my kids, so both my kids knew her as well. And she was just a really, really special person in my life. So, Jan.
Thank you. I don't want to hurt. Y'all, can't you just feel the Veda hug? I can just feel the Veda hug. I was like everybody else. I had a hard time thinking of just one. So I was kind of thinking through stages of my life where people, and the Lord just sent me the right people at the right time for the right reason. And I know you will find that in your own lives. You know, I could start with my mom. I had Sunday school teachers. I had a really good friend. I had a neighbor who was instrumental in my faith, a Bible study small group leader who was wonderful, and several women in this church who came alongside me and walked with me and were patient with me and loved me through a bunch of things. And I'm grateful for each and every one of them, but it was too hard to choose. So I decided to focus on a relatively new person in my life whose faith has impacted me in a lot of ways. Now, if you've been around for a while, you've heard me talk about her. She's my hairdresser. And don't blame her for my hair. She's doing the best she can with what she's got. Okay. Marianne is the exact opposite of me. She is an extrovert's extrovert. She has a big personality. She can walk into a room of 100 strangers and in 30 minutes have 100 new best friends. It's the most amazing thing I have ever seen in my life. She radiates joy. Her arms are always open wide, and she loves the Lord and she loves talking about him. In fact, she shares Jesus with everyone she's around, whether you want to hear about him or not. You are going to hear about him. And she speaks the truth in the most loving way. What I mean by that is that she's never steps off God's word, but she is so passionately loving that people are drawn to him through her. It's amazing. I have referred to her at times as my theology professor, because I learn something new every time I see her. She's not exactly Reformed theology, but that's okay. The question is, would I love to be more like Marianne? Yes, absolutely. Am I likely to make it? No, not this side of heaven. But as she would say, honey, don't be me, be you. God made you, you, for a reason. So she's always turning me back to what the Lord wants in my own life. Now, you can see that there's a lot about her that would impact my faith, but the moral and spiritual quality that she has that I most want to emulate is her prayer life. Mary Ann truly prays without ceasing. Her first response to anything I share with her, whether it's, oh, I'm so happy my grandchildren are doing well in school. Well, honey, let's pray about that. She will pray at the drop of a hat. There I am with wet hair, and there she is with her sharp scissors, and we are going to be praying about whatever it was I mentioned in my conversation. She knows scripture so well that it flows out of her like living water. It's a language that she just opens her mouth and out it comes. It's just the most incredible thing. Now, there's only one caveat to all of that, and I learned this early on, that because she prays when she cuts your hair, she doesn't close her eyes, but you have to watch, because the longer she prays, the shorter your hair is going to get. To the extent that when I come home, every once in a while, my husband will say to me, oh, good prayer session today. It's really bad. And beyond that, when Marianne discerns a spiritual battle, which frequently I have not discerned in my own life, she will take me into her prayer closet, which is a room that doubles as a massage room. But nonetheless, we'll go in there, close the doors, get down on our knees, and shower down. And let me tell you, ladies, when Marianne prays on her knees, the enemy trembles, because she embodies that verse in James that says the prayer of a righteous woman is powerful and effective. Now, I could go on and on, but we've already run over time, so I won't. But that is what I want to emulate in her. And I don't want to emulate it. I want it to be a deep part of me, that as I spend time with the Lord, that he engenders in me a hunger and thirst for his word. He gives me another language, and that I am drawn into his presence in prayer on a daily basis, that I will be indifferent to anything but his will. That's what I want to emulate with regard to Mary Ann. So that's going to be my prayer for myself for this year. And now, ironically, as I have just confessed that to you, I am going to ask Lynn to pray us into our small groups.
We all start somewhere. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the excitement that we can hear in this room. Thank you for the new faces and the faces that we've seen before. We ask you today that we just feel your Holy Spirit among us in each room as we get to know each other, as we learn about who some of the important women in our lives have been. Father, I ask that each person here just feel the freedom of knowing that she is here because you want her here, and that you will give her what she needs as she is here. And that is all we can ask. I just ask for open hearts. I ask for open ears. And I just lift this morning up to your glory alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.